Let's check volleyball from last night first. In regional volleyball play last evening, a Class 3A Region 2 match that was heard here on KJAN saw Greene County defeat Atlantic in three straight games. It was 25-13, 25-15, and 25-11 were the scores as Atlantic is bumped out of the regional tournament. Greene County advances. Also moving on with wins, Red Oak. They beat Creston in three straight. Clarinda, who downed Shenandoah three in a row. And Kemper Catholic moves on with a three-game sweep over Southeast Valley. Also in Class 4A, Region 2 play, Harlan defeated Glenwood in three straight, while Carroll took three of four from Denison as those winners move on. And also in Class 5A, Region 2 play last night, Thomas Jefferson had to go the distance to beat Abraham Lincoln 3-2. TJ winning at 15-8 in the third and the fifth and deciding game as they advance in Class 5A regional volleyball play. A high school cross-country state qualifying meets will be held across the state of Iowa today, and Atlantic will play host for some Class 2A and 3A schools. That meet will be held at the Atlantic Golf and Country Club, and spectators are asked to park in the, near the driving range, which is on West 22nd Street, adjoining the course. The start-finish line will be near the driving range and the hole number 10 tee area. The top three teams and top 15 individuals in each race will qualify for the state meet, which will be held on October 29th at Lakeside Municipal Golf Course in Fort Dodge. The Class 2A teams that will be competing include Central Decatur, Clarinda, Clark, Des Moines Christian, I-35, Ogden, Red Oak, Roland Story, Shenandoah, South Hamilton, Southeast Valley, Southwest Iowa, Underwood, and Woodward Academy. The 2A girls race is set to start at 3 this afternoon. The 2A boys race will follow at 3:30. The 2A awards will be handed out at 4:45 this afternoon. The Class 3A teams that will be competing include ADM, Boone, Carlisle, Clark, Creston, Dallas Center Grimes, Denison, Gilbert, Glenwood, Harlan, Perry, and Winterset, along, of course, with the host Atlantic team. The Class 3A girls race will get underway at about 4 o'clock, and the boys race will start at about 5 o'clock this evening. Again, all that action at the Atlantic Golf and Country Club coming up this afternoon. Well, the city of Cleveland had gone 52 years without a sports championship before the Cavaliers downed the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals last spring. The Indians are now four wins away from giving Cleveland its first, their second title in 4 months. The Indians have captured their first American League pennant since 1997 by blanking the Toronto Blue Jays for the second time in the AL Championship Series. Rookie Ryan Merritt combined with three relievers on a six-hitter as Cleveland posted a 3-0 shutout in Game 5 at Toronto yesterday. Merritt's major league resume had consisted of 11 innings before he limited the Blue Jays to two hits and no walks while striking out three over 4 1/3 innings. He threw 49 pitches in his playoff debut and his first action since September 30th against Kansas City. Cleveland's bullpen was equally impressive. Brian Shaw followed Merritt and worked in and out of a first and second jam. In the fifth inning, Andrew Miller replaced Shaw, needed just one pitch to induce an inning-ending double play before working two more shutout innings. Cody Allen got the final three outs to pick up his third save of the series. Carlos Santana and Coco Crisp belted solo homers off losing pitcher Marco Estrada, who has reached for two earned runs and five hits over six innings. Santana's blast made it 2-0 in the third, one inning before Crisp went deep. Francisco Lindor provided half of the Indians' six hits and scored the first run on an error by left fielder Ezekiel Carrera in the top of the first inning. Miller was named as the series MVP after the game. The lefty struck out 14 and held the Jays to three hits over 7 1/3 innings. The Blue Jays' offense did little against the Indians in the series, scoring just eight runs and hitting .201. Toronto hit .266 with 22 runs scored during their three-game sweep of Texas in the division series. The Indians' 143 earned run average in the series more than made up for the team's 168 batting average. The Indians will face either the Chicago Cubs or the Los Angeles Dodgers as they try to win their first World Series crown since 1948. The Cubs certainly didn't look like a ball club that had been shut out for two consecutive games, as Chicago evened up the National League Championship Series at two games apiece with a 10-2 drubbing of the Dodgers in Los Angeles. The Cubs had gone 21 consecutive scoreless innings before erupting for four runs in the top of the fourth inning. Wilson Contreras ended the drought with an RBI single, and Addison Russell capped the rally with a two-run homer. Anthony Rizzo also had a big night at the plate, going 3-for-5 with a solo blast and 3 RBIs. Cubs reliever Mike Montgomery got the victory despite allowing Justin Turner's 2-run single in the 5th inning. Montgomery entered the game after starter John Lackey, who was charged with 2 runs after giving up 3 hits and 3 walks over 4-plus innings. Julio Urias took the loss, surrendering 4 runs on 4 hits over 3 2/3 innings. The 20-year-old Urias became the youngest starting pitcher in postseason history. Game 5 will be in Los Angeles tonight. John Lester will start for the Chicago Cubs against Kenta Maeda for the Dodgers in that pivotal Game 5. Well, the Iowa Hawkeyes will try to hang on to the Heartland Trophy this weekend when they host 10th-ranked Wisconsin. Despite back-to-back losses to Michigan and Ohio State, the Badgers look like the team to beat in the Big Ten West Division race.
They're a good team. I mean, we know that they played, you know, the number 2 team in the country all the way to the end. You know, had that game, you know, had to lead the entire game until the very end. So we're just going to take our best effort. We're going to have to be mentally ready and ready physically, too.
That's Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard. It will be a game featuring teams with similar styles.
We're both two tough outfitting teams, and, you know, we take pride in being the most physical team on the field. And, you know, like I said, you know, it's going to come down to who's going to be the most physical, most toughest team out there.
At senior cornerback Desmond King, Iowa's run game has made progress the last 2 weeks, but faces a big challenge against the Badger defense.
We focused on us right now, and we just need to grind. Just keep doing the little things we've been doing these past couple weeks.
That's running back Akram Wadley, a junior for the Hawkeyes. We'll have that game for you Saturday here on the radio. That's an 11 o'clock kickoff at historic Kinnick Stadium. And we'll be on the air at 9 o'clock in the morning with the pregame show. Iowa hosting Wisconsin, Big Ten showdown on Saturday. Well, Chiefs linebacker Justin Houston returned to practice on Wednesday for the first time since having surgery in February to repair a poorly functioning ACL in his left knee. The 4-time Pro Bowl pass rusher was expected to do individual drills only as the Chiefs slowly get him back into playing shape, and Coach Andy Reid didn't say when he might be game ready. Reid did say it was a virtual certainty that it won't be Sunday against Oakland. Houston missed several weeks late last season with what the Chiefs thought was a hyperextension of his knee. He came back for the playoffs, but was limited in games against Houston and New England. Raiders owner Mark Davis says Oakland has an inside track on keeping the NFL team, but couldn't put anything together, so he updated his fellow owners on his desire to move the team to Las Vegas. Nevada lawmakers passed a bill last week that would increase hotel taxes to raise $750 million for a new stadium in the gambling capital. Billionaire casino owner Sheldon Adelson is putting $650 million toward the project, while the Raiders and the NFL will kick in $500 million. Several owners insisted it's far too early to reach any conclusions in the Raiders' relocation issue, and none of them wanted to touch the relationship an NFL team might have with a casino mogul. Elsewhere around the league, the Seattle Seahawks still aren't sure strong safety Cam Chancellor will be able to play Sunday against Arizona. Coach Pete Carroll said Wednesday that Chancellor remained day-to-day with a groin injury suffered last week during practice. He missed last Sunday's win over Atlanta. Bills running back LeSean McCoy left practice early due to tightness in his hamstring. His availability for Sunday's game at Miami is uncertain. McCoy has rushed for 470 yards and scored 6 touchdowns during Buffalo's current 4-game winning streak. Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco missed practice with a right shoulder injury, but says he expects to play Sunday against the Jets. Coach John Harbaugh says the quarterback could play even if he doesn't practice this week. That injury occurred last Sunday during a 27-23 loss to the New York Giants. That is a check of sports this morning. Sports brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.